Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or conditions or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
Imagine what heaven's going to be like. As our men work our way from the front to back, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand and we'll make sure we put a Bible in your hands. If you are here today and you don't have a Bible, then when you leave today, we want to present you a Bible as a gift. Just let our greeters know and we'll send you home with the Bible. We want everyone to have the Word of God in their hands. So now, whether you have it in digital format or if you have it in a paper form, hold up the Word of God all over the sanctuary. There we go. We love having the Word of God. Please turn in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and today's text we will be in verses 5 and 6. Today's message is No Fear for a New Year. No fear for a new year. You know, most people are afraid of the unknown. Most of us don't really care for surprises. That's why the surprise birthday party or surprise parties are only fun for the people that did the surprise, not normally the one that received the surprise. I know I like to go through life and I don't like a whole lot of surprises. You know, in the old days, by old days, for anyone here that's less than 20, that was way before we were born. You know, the old map makers. Before they had the modern tools that they have nowadays, they would draw maps and they would draw out as far as they could draw, as far as they knew what was there. And then they would just draw in a dark area and they would write down, beyond this, there may be dragons. Now, I'm old enough to actually remember and to have looked at maps in my geography books that showed parts of Greenland and the Antarctica and parts of Africa and parts of South America, actually. They had big areas blotted out that said unknown or not traveled. You know, people were afraid of what they did not know. There may be dragons out there. And actually, beyond their discovered areas, they would find out that were actually the sunny golden beaches of Florida. Amen? As they said out across the ocean, where we happen to be worshiping today. You know, I stepped outside this morning and the beautiful weather and crystal clear skies, and I thought, you know, the Lord might be in this, me ministering in South Florida. I think the Lord, this is where He wants me to preach and where He wants me to be. But listen, as far as those people were in the previous days, things were uncharted, unknown, and therefore scary. And that's the way that many of us feel about the future. But for the child of God, you don't need to be worried about your future. We know that where we will be someday. I hope that you were listening closely as we sang Revelation song this morning. Because we serve a holy God. And someday we will be in His presence. And someday we will be there glorifying Him and glorifying His name. I love listening to our musicians and our praise team are singing and God's people sing. I love when our musicians in Davidson and or the solo singers bless us with songs of music that bring us right into the presence of God. I just love that. So, were there any surprises for you in 2014? I would venture to say, oh yes. Amen? But listen, what and who knows what the year 2015 will bring? Who knows? I think God's going to do great things through Living Hope Church. I want you guys to know that we had a wonderful Christmas Eve service. The other night, a candlelight service, the house was full, the place was packed, it was simply incredible. We had a great time, and by the way, we're going to be doing that every year now. The Wednesday before Christmas, we're having a candlelight service, so put it on the candle. We're going to come, we're going to praise God, we're going to read the Christmas... Pardon me? What did I say? Put it on the... Thank you, dear. Blessings. Put it on your calendar. See, they were just polite enough. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. Put it on your calendar that we will reserve next the Wednesday before Christmas each and every year for that.
Amen.
Now, with that in mind, looking at today's passage and thinking about what is to come, let's think about how we are to be and how we are to act. Reading from the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? May the Lord add His blessings upon His Word. Now you'll notice in your notes today, if you flip your bulletin over, we have a place for you to jot down your notes, that you'll notice that there are places for three notes. And I want you to know that Miss Margaret puts together our bulletins and she does a fine job. But this week I actually have 4 points that came to me after the bulletins were all done and ready to go. So we're going to have 4 points. Leave a little room below if you're jotting things around the margins there for a fourth point. I would like each of you to face this new year by squaring back your shoulders, putting a smile on your face, and reading and remembering what this passage says. The Lord is my helper, I shall not, I will not fear. So let's begin, shall we? With that perspective in our mind, with that perspective in our heart, let's start and see, why is that? Why should we face the new year without fear? Well, first we see, our first point, we see that we have the contentment of His provision. We have the contentment of His provision. Look at, if you will, once again at the first half of verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. What is contentment? Well, let me tell you what it is not. Contentment is not getting what you want. That is not contentment. Contentment is wanting what you already have. It's being happy with the things that God has already blessed you with. Wherever you are, God has not forgotten you. Whatever things have happened to you this past year, you are not outside the eyes of Almighty God. And we don't know the other side of the story. We know that in the book of Job, that there came a time when Satan came into the presence of God to give an account of himself, and the Lord, for His own purposes, allowed Satan to do certain things to Job. For His own purposes, meaning for His own glory. God is concerned about His glory, not necessarily always our personal comfort. Amen? But you see, Job did not know that side of the argument. Now, Job went along for a while, and he did a little bit of whining and a little bit of moaning, but he never lost his integrity. He never cursed God. He always remembered that God is God. God is holy, and we are not. But everything that happens to you, Christian, everything that happens to you, child of God, has passed before the permissive eyes of Almighty God. So when you go through a difficult time, when you go through a tough circumstance, a tough situation, look at it and see, what is God trying to teach me here? What is the life lesson that is going on here? What is the blessing in what is happening here? Has God placed you in a terrible place or place of where you work, where you are the only Christian there? God has you right where He wants you. Let your light shine. Amen. If you are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone and they get angry with you and they curse you and they're rude with you, guess what? You are right where God has placed you. You're doing the right thing. Those people need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your workmates need to see your light shine. Your neighbors need to see your light shine. Contentment makes a poor man rich. Amen? Discontentment makes a rich man poor. A poor man can say, I'm richer than you are because I have everything that I want and you do not. Be content in the things that you have. No matter how much you have, if you are discontented, if you're not happy, I will guarantee you that you are really poor. You are poor. You know, sometimes we want things we don't really need. And other times we need things we don't really want. And the Lord has an incredible way of putting us in exactly those circumstances. Amen? Putting us in those places that are outside our comfort zone. Sometimes we get our luxuries and our necessities mixed up. If you look up on our screen, we have a passage here, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Friends, let me tell you something. If you are rich and you know the Lord, and if you're content, you are blessed. Because Timothy, God speaking through the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, explains what's going on with verses 7 and 8, if you look up there. It says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. I have never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse." Not once. There was a very rich man that died, and somebody asked me, "Well, how much did he leave behind?" I said, "All of it. Every bit of it." Now look at this explanation. "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." If you have clothes on your back, if you have food on your belly, statistically speaking, you are blessed on this planet. You are absolutely blessed. And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, be content because you are blessed beyond all measure. Why is it that material things can never satisfy the deepest needs of our heart? Let me ask that again. Why is it that material things can never satisfy the deepest need of your heart? Well, Jesus Himself said it. Let's look at His words up on the screen here. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. "And He said to them," this is Jesus speaking, "take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Don't worry about those things that you do or do not have. If you get caught up in that, then you are going to be discontented. But if you are caught up in your personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, living in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be contented. You know, there's nothing wrong with material things. I like cool stuff just as much as the next guy. Nothing better than Apple TV. How about a clicker? And all the guys said, amen. Amen. You know, when I was younger, we had a clicker in our house for our TV. It was me and my brother. Actually, generally, I was the clicker and he was the antenna. My dad would give him the gravity and say, "All right, now go stand over here. Spread this one and touch that one against the wall. Let's see how our reception is going to do here." So, listen, folks, you need to be satisfied. But material things cannot satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. If you look up on the screen one more time, you'll see in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, "Delight yourself also in" who?
"The Lord.
The Lord. And He shall give you the desires of your heart." If you delight yourself in the Lord, if you want what God wants, if the things that break God's heart break your heart, if you are buried in His Word, if you immerse yourself in the Word of God daily, if you come into His presence in prayer, not only prayer, but you realize that when you pray that you are standing on holy ground in the presence of Almighty God, if you do those things, then you will delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart, because your heart, the desires of your heart are the desires of God's heart. I say so many times, "Lord, let the things that break your heart break mine. Let the things that fill your heart and give you joy, give me joy." You see, I love that, by the way. I love that passage. Because what your heart really yearns for, what your heart really wants, is the Lord. Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity into man's heart. Eternity is a God-sized hole in the heart of every person. And there's only one thing that can fill a God-sized hole: God Himself. Amen. And all God's children said. Amen. Now, do you know why we still have fear, though? Let me explain to you why we still have fear. It's because we think that our needs won't be met. We think that our needs won't be met. Here's the problem with that, is that we are defining what our needs are. Do we need an iPad? Do we need comfortable chairs to sit upon to listen to be in here and praise God? No, we don't need any of those things. Imagine this for a moment. Let me ask this. You guys with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Suppose every single thing that you have while you're sitting here this morning, you get home, every single thing that you have was stolen. Or the house burned down. Here's the question. Is God enough? Would you still praise God? Would you still look at that and say, you know what? The Lord gave me this home. The Lord gave me these things. They are His. They belong to Him. He can do with them as He wishes. I can do nothing else but stand here and glorify God. If you can do that, then you can face the future. You can be content in the things that you have said. And the answer is yes, but only if you delight in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
By being content in such things as you have. Now, listen, did you know that that word content in our passage today, that word content literally means self-contained. It's self-contained. Your contentness is self-contained, and it's self-contained in the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Philippians chapter 4. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Someone with a paper Bible, say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, you guys are good. I like that. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to pick up reading at verse 11. Now look at this. Verse 11, Philippians chapter 4. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Does anyone know where the book of Philippians was written from?
Jail.
He was in prison, a prisoner of Nero in Rome, in a dungeon below the street level, where when the waters ran, when the snow melted and all the dirty things of the city flushed out with the waters, it ran through those dungeons. Can you imagine a worse place to be? What does Paul say? Oh, I'm content. Now, let's read on. Verse 12. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Bummer. How could he possibly say that? How could he say those things based on where he was? Ah, look at verse 13. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ. Now listen to me. That verse there literally means, are you guys ready for this? I can do all things through Christ, listen, who is pouring His life into me. That's the literal translation of those words in the original text. You see, your deepest need, children, can be met in Jesus Christ. May I share with you for just a moment? You are looking at a rich man. I'm not just talking about my family because of my family. I'm not just talking about my awesome wife. But it's because I'm content in the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean I'm satisfied with myself. That doesn't mean that I lack ambition. But I'm content because I can do all things through Christ who is pouring His life into mine. See, we miss that point. I can do all things through Christ because Christ is pouring His life into mine. What a thought. Amen?
Amen.
Didn't that just get you all fired up this morning? Sometimes when I'm reading the Word of God, I don't know whether to sing, dance, or break dance. But let's keep the pastor from doing that up here. All right. So, went right off my notes, by the way. Let me find my way back. I've told you guys many times that my notes are here for one reason and one reason only, to keep this service down to the allotted time. In order to face a new year without fear, then the source of your satisfaction, the source of your sufficiency, the source of your security is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, we need to know the contentment of His provision. Second, we need to know the companionship of His presence. Back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. My mistake. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Second half, he says, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Whenever I face this year, whatever happens, what happens 1 minute after walking outside this door, I know that He will never leave me. I know that He will never forsake me. Why? I have God's promise right here. And God's honor is at stake, that no matter what God allows to happen in my life, through His permissive will, as I'm going through that, I know that He is right there. Psalm 139 says, wherever I go, thou. When I rise in the morning, before I go to bed at night, wherever I go and on all about, you hedge me in, Lord. You are there. Friends, this is what may be the most encouraging verse in the Bible that we just read here. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look again at what that scripture says. I will never leave you. Do you see that word never? Now, this is a strange thing here. Because this sentence actually has five negatives in it. Which, grammatically speaking, your college kids, your professors would say that's horrible English. That's horrible grammar. Apparently, it's good in the Greek. Let me read you the actual translation of what is written there. You guys ready? It literally says, I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave, nor forsake you. How about that? That's God talking. Now look at that word forsake. That word forsake actually means abandon. But in the original text, in the Greek, in the book of Hebrews, let me tell you what that term actually means. That is a reference to a family. And it's referring to saying, I will not leave you a helpless orphan. Got that? You got to say, got it. I need to know I have you guys here. So let's look at this one more time. I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave, nor will I leave you as a helpless orphan. How cool is that? Wherever you go, He will not leave you. The I being God, you will not be left. Now maybe there are some people here today that have been abandoned by their spouses. Abandoned by their families. Perhaps your friends or family or co-workers have let you down, have abandoned you. I want to tell you that Christ will never leave you. He will never abandon you. And so what does that mean to me as I face a new year? When I'm discouraged, He is there. When I'm down a little bit, He is there. I simply need to turn and call upon His name. So get the worry out of our lives. Get the fear out of our lives. You know, years ago, I spent some time in a hospital. I've done it many times over the years with people that are about to go to be with the Lord. We had a sweet lady named Carol who was just a few hours away from being with the Lord. And I sat with her and I was praying with her. And after we prayed, I said, Carol, are you okay? She said, Pastor, everything is all right. I'm ready. And then she quoted Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. How could she say that? It's because of our passage today. I will never, no, not ever, no, ever leave or abandon you as an orphan. That's how you can read that. Friends, when I'm discouraged, His presence sees me through. When I'm lonely, the presence of Christ cheers me up. And when I'm worried, His presence calms me right down. You know, I've spoken about worry before recently. Amen? You know what worry is? Worry is actually a mild form of atheism. Worry is saying or acting like God doesn't exist or your God isn't big enough to handle the problem that you have. Okay? And then on the other side of the spectrum, people think, well, I just bother God with the big problems. When I pray, I just take my big problems to God. I don't bother Him with the little stuff. That's just terrible theology. I've got a newsflash for you. Your big problems are insignificant and little problems to God to handle. Amen. There is nothing too big for our God to handle. Amen?
Amen.
Everything we should take to our Father in prayer. You know, I was reading about the great missionary David Livingstone who took the gospel to Africa. It was a truly dangerous place back then. Truly dangerous. And he wrote this in his journal, January the 14th, 1856. If you're one of the young people here, that's way before I was born. Now imagine this. He's surrounded by hostile people in the very heart of darkest Africa. They're right outside his camp. They're beating their drums. He knows the war chance that they have. They are prepared to come and kill him in the morning. And he writes this down in his journal, and I quote, "Felt much turmoil of spirit," really, "felt much turmoil of spirit in prospect of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region and this teeming population knocked on the head by savages tomorrow." That's a pretty calm way to put the situation he was in. Now he's sitting at his campfire, alone in the heart of Africa, and he knows that what's out there in the jungle beyond him is going to come and do everything it can to kill him in the morning. And then he writes this in the same following statement. "But I read that Jesus said, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all the nations, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.'" And then Dr. Livingstone finishes with this. "This is a word of a gentleman," meaning Jesus Christ, "of the most strict and sacred honor." So that's the end of it. He's saying he's with me. In this terrible circumstances, I may die tomorrow, but whether I live or whether I die is of no account, because Christ lives in me, and I shall not be afraid. And so he does a follow-up writing. He says, "Therefore, I shall not cross furtively," meaning to sneak across and try to get out quietly, "as I had intended. Why should such a man as I flee? I feel quite calm now in the presence of my God." What did he have? Nothing but the Word of God to sustain him. Nothing but the presence of Almighty God. His life hanging in the balance, and he feels the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you come across these difficult times in the coming year, and they will come, amen?
Amen.
Call upon the name of Jesus. When I'm lonely, His presence cheers me up. When I'm worried, His presence calms me down. And when I am tempted, and we're all going to be tempted this year, His presence will help me out. Friend, you may be tempted this year to just give up. To give up on your job, to give up on your life, to give up on your family, your spouse. Don't do it. Call upon the name of the Lord. You may be coming here and you've been coming to Living Hope Church for years, and you've seen this church go from back in the Harvest Chapel days, a huge congregation, down to what we have right here now. But hey, listen to me. We've got an awesome praise team. God does not give a praise team like this to a church our size for no reason. Amen? And think about Gideon. Ladies, your Bible study, I'm going to spill the beans, Miss Ruth Ann. Your Bible study in February is going to be about Gideon. Remember Gideon, he had an army of 32,000. The Lord said, 132,000. The Lord says, that's way too many. And works down and says, all you need is 300.
Amen.
Living Hope Church, at one time we had an army of 500, 600. The Lord says, no. To do my work, you need about 80 or 90. We got you down to where you need to be. Are you guys ready to get on fire for Jesus?
Amen.
All right. Because I tell you what, we're starting to see God at work here. We're starting to see God do great things at Living Hope Church. And so this year, when Satan comes and knocks on your heart's door, trying to tempt you, just simply say, Lord Jesus, would you get that for me? Can you imagine that Satan knocks on your heart's door and Jesus opens the door and looks at him? You know what Satan has to do in the presence of God, amen? He has to flee. So, simply said, first we have the contentment of His provision. Second, I have the companionship of His presence. Third, we see the confidence of His promise. The confidence of the Lord's promise. Verse 5, if we look back at verse 5 again, zero in, it says, "For He Himself has said." If you're the kind of person that underlines in your Bible, and I'm one of those, this is a place to underline. This is a passage to underline. "For He Himself has said." It's the confidence of His promise. You know, a promise is only as good as the person making the promise. Amen? Do you know some people, they can promise you anything and you're not buying it? And you have other people, they don't have to promise you, they simply say it. I know you know that you can take it down as the gospel. Okay, listen. Who's talking here? It's the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent God. And God is promising. And when I say, God, Lord, I just don't have the strength for what's coming. The omnipotent God answers and says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. When I say, God, I'm afraid of what I have to go through this next year. The omnipresent God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And when I say, God, I don't know what to do, the omniscient, all-knowing God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Friends, that's God Himself that has said that. So first we see that there's the contentment. Be content in such things as you have. Second, we spoke about the companionship. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Third, there's the confidence. For He Himself has said, we have the promise of Almighty God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Friend, this is not just advice from a Baptist preacher. This is a promise from the Word of Almighty God. And that's why when Pastor Larry preaches, when anyone teaches or preaches at Living Hope Church, they are not to do it without the Word of God in front of them. They are not to do it without the Word of God in the laps of His people. I don't want you taking my word for it. I want you taking the Word of God. And that's why we teach it. Fourth, we see the comfort of His protection. Look in verse 6. Oh, here we go. So we may, oh, here's one of Pastor Larry's favorite words, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let's put this together. Verse 5, He Himself has said. Why has He said it? Verse 6, so that we may boldly say. In other words, He hath said that we may say boldly. Say what? The Lord is my helper. I shall not fear. What can man do to me? So how do you face a new year without fear? Find your contentment in Christ. Find your companionship in Christ. Find your confidence in Christ. And then you will find your comfort in Christ. You know what? I just closed my Bible. I'm going to open it right back up. Let's go right back and read that verse one more time. Verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Friends, this year you are going to face some heartaches. You're going to face some trials. You're going to be tempted to give up. You're going to wonder why you're even here at Living Hope Church. Surely the Lord has a better plan than this. The Lord's saying, oh, you're part of my army. Get ready, the good times are coming. I've got you an awesome praise team here. I've got you a church where literally 90% of the people in this body of Christ are serving somewhere. That is unknown in churches today. That is literally unknown. Usually it's 15 or 18% of the people are serving. Now listen, I'm not trying to tell you it's going to be all honey and no bees. I'm not trying to say that at all. In fact, this coming year may, humanly speaking, be horrendous for some of you. However, you can stand upon the promises of the Word of God and say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. You know, as Christians, we will face opposition. Amen? We will be mocked. We will be chided and derided. Christians of the world around are facing mockery and brutality and robbery and murder. Look at what's happening to Christians in the Middle East. Our brothers in Christ need our prayers. And I'm not talking anything about denominations. I'm talking Christians. You know, the denominational stuff we'll work out in heaven. But we have Christians being murdered. Millions of them over the last 10 years. There are more Christians that have been martyred in the last 10 years. Are you ready for this? In all of history before that. More than World War II. And it's simply not reported in the media. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this coming new year will bring, but I do know that I can boldly say, the Lord shall be my helper. How do I know that? He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to prove it. As our praise team comes, I just want to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
worthy, I'm worthy, come to pray.